Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Going for a run is not what it used to be in this age of social distancing and social unrest. I'm WBBM reporter Terry Keschner, and we're listening to runners who are talking about health and society. This is At Issue. We are joined today by Greg Hipp, Executive Director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, and Matt Koshy, a radiation oncologist at University of Illinois Hospital and a veteran Chicago marathon runner and a big fan of running along Chicago's lakefront. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this. We are doing this via Zoom today, of course, so I can see you guys. I could see you a moment ago, but you're not here with me. Greg, let's start with you. This is why we're doing this over Zoom, because this has been a spring and summer unlike no other for all of us, including, of course, runners. Greg, how has COVID-19 changed things for runners and for CARA, the Chicago Area Runners Association?
Yeah, it's definitely been pretty dramatic in how it's affected the running community and CARA. And, you know, we haven't had any in-person events or even a group run since middle of March. So it's resulted in hundreds and thousands of cancellations of running events, running clubs like CARA unable to meet, and it's really changed things. And certainly even there, just at the small group level, friends haven't been able to gather like they normally do, which is a big part of what the running community is all about.
Matt, have you been eager to get back out on the lakefront trail?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's been a crazy spring. I usually go running every day or every other day. And it's just been, and usually just go up and down the lakefront. And this year has been completely changed all of that. So my running has pretty much just been stuck up and down Grand Park, pretty much just around Grand Park whenever I can. And obviously having all the running events canceled throughout the spring has been huge as well.
And people have been running and wearing masks. Greg, do you recommend runners wear a mask when they run, and what's that like?
Yeah, so at CARA, we've been encouraging runners to wear a mask or face cover anytime they can't maintain that 6-foot distance. So we've been pushing out running safety guidelines since early April that include that, but you know, we've been encouraging runners to consider things like a running buff, not necessarily a medical mask that wouldn't be fitting for running. And certainly there's been some running specific face covers that have come out as well from a couple different brands. And, so it really depends on your situation, where you're running, if you're trying to run with others, if you're in a contested area. It's been a matter of both safety as well as a respect issue. You know, certainly there's been a lot of concerns with runners out passing people on the sidewalks. And so simply having that running buff on that you can pull up and show that sign of respect is helpful aside from the safety benefits.
Matt, have you been wearing a mask?
So I have. So to be honest, I have. It's tough running with, and I don't have the right mask initially. I had like a surgical mask, which has been very difficult to run with. So I've been not running around people and maintaining 6 feet. And I definitely need to look into getting one of the new athletic masks that are now available. Cause I think now there's whole lines that are geared more towards being able to breathe within the mask, which is difficult with the surgical mask, but the running buff also is a great option, I think, as well.
Now, Greg, the city of Chicago has canceled the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in July, or at least the organizers of that have canceled, and many other marathons have been canceled, including, of course, the Boston Marathon, which was postponed, then canceled altogether. For now, though, Chicago in October is still on, and Kara is still doing the summer training group runs, you said, not beginning until Illinois Phase 4, and they'll be operating under some new procedures for safety and social distancing. Greg and Matt, you both know just how important the Chicago Marathon is to people. They train all summer long with Kara or with other groups. Greg, can you talk a little bit about what Kara is doing to help runners prepare for running a marathon this fall or this winter or whenever, whether it's officially the Chicago Marathon or some other event that goes 26.2 miles?
Yeah, Terry. So Kara began working, back in early March just to get prepared for what may come about. We certainly never expected things would go this far, but we began to kind of plan for what we refer to as just operational preparedness for social distancing, how we could alter our training programs to make sure that they could operate safely. And first was just to determine if they could operate safely. And we felt like we've been able to come up with a pretty good plan that really addresses not only, participant expectations about running safety guidelines, but how we would gather differently pre-run, how we would kind of alter the way we form within our groups, and then how we can do hydration in a safe way with all the safety standards that are out there from local and state authorities, as well as how we're going to manage post-run. So, we've been able to come up with a pretty good plan, and that plan actually originally started out being just for Kara training, and it ended up getting adopted by the Roadrunners Club of America, which is our national organization, as the national framework for how running clubs should come back together. So we felt pretty excited that they had that much confidence in the plan. The Chicago Marathon team had us present it to race directors around the world as well. So it's really been accepted by some experts in the field. And so we think we do have a safe plan to make sure we can come back together, and it'll be a different experience. It'll be a different way that we gather, but we're going to break up into our small pace groups, not meet as full training sites, put in some really strong safety measures with our hydration, and then just really have to be mindful of how we gather pre and post run as well. And so we've got a good plan in place, but we're not going to have any of those group runs begin together until into phase 4. So we're targeting July 11th right now, and that just gave ourselves a little bit of a buffer after we think Illinois will actually make that move.
Now, Matt, you know what it's like with people together on these runs, these group runs, and people are close together. And I know Greg said they're not going to do quite the tight group runs. But Matt, especially you being in the medical profession, do you have concerns about going out there and people getting a little bit too close together, even if they're trying to practice social distancing, even if they're wearing the masks on hot, sweaty days out on that lakefront path or anywhere else? People do tend to kind of get a little bit too close. It just happens.
Yeah, I think if you take the right precautions, practice social distancing, listen to the regulations, don't get too close and be cognizant of that, I think it should be okay. Because the most important thing is that we are outdoors, well-ventilated area. And so just paying attention to that and keep it in the back of your mind, I think, and listening to the rules that they have set in place, we should be fine to do the run. So, personally, I am not that concerned with the outdoor runs. I was actually excited to hear that Kara was putting it back on in July. And so I think the overall risk, with us being in phase 4, the percent positivity in Chicago now continuing to decline, I think we'll be okay.
Have you had people at the hospital, Matt, have concerns asking you as a medical professional, as a doctor, saying, hey, what's this going to be like out there running with a mask? If I'm worried about my health, that COVID-19 might make it worse. Is that something that you've encountered in your job?
I have not. I don't specifically deal with those types of issues, Terry, so I can't comment on that, unfortunately.
We know now, guys, that no one in Chicago is going to a lot of sporting events because there really aren't any. No one's really going to White Sox games or Cubs games. And then the Piers fans aren't going to be going to basketball or hockey games, even when those sports resume. And the NFL, it's still a ways away with the Bears. But in some ways, the most popular sporting event in Chicago really is the Chicago Marathon, certainly in terms of participants, 45,000 and more than 100,000 people coming out to watch it, if not more than that. And that's kind of tough to social distance in those numbers for people in the crowd. Greg, you talk a little bit about that, social distancing in the crowd, because really, I think, as someone who's run several marathons in Chicago, the crowd is what makes the marathon. Yeah, you run it, you do it, but the crowd, you know, there's people cheering for you, and you know they're usually packed in there pretty tight, especially at the beginning and the end. So it's going to be pretty tough, I imagine, to social distance for the crowd, much less the runners, if the Chicago Marathon does happen, Greg.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure that's a concern that the team at the Bank of America Chicago Marathon is really considering as they work with the city to determine if the marathon could go on. And you know, it's more than just the participants. So that's a key piece they've got to evaluate. You know, we talk with the marathon team quite often, but certainly where they're at on their preparations and their specific plans are things we're not privy to. But certainly that is a pretty reasonable concern of how they're going to manage all the folks who are standing still along the course.
Matt, you know, it's such a contrast. When you run, when you're training for a run, you're doing that all on your own usually. You know, you have the group run sometimes on weekends, but for the most part, it's a solo thing. But then one day a year or 2 days a year, depending if you're running more than one marathon or long race, suddenly you're the star. What would that be like to run a marathon, to run 26.2 with no one cheering for you? Hopefully people are still handing you water, like Greg talked about, you know, they have other provisions to do a 26.2 mile run. But what would that be like running 26.2 miles without those people cheering for you?
Yeah, I know. I can't imagine it. But yeah, that's definitely one of the best parts of the marathon is you always think about the crowds cheering you on and crossing that finish line, and that those images are really what keeps you going throughout the year. But obviously we have to do, you know, what's safe for everyone. And if this is like a redesigned or a reimagined view of what the marathon will be, and if you're still able to cross the finish line while keeping the spectators safe and appropriately socially distanced, I think that would be fine also. But it will be, if they do put it on, I imagine it'd be a completely different experience, but at the end result, you're still running the 26.2 miles and still crossing the finish line.
Yeah, if you run it, you run it, Greg. You know how that is. It's you know, you love to get the medals and love to get the certificate and all that, but it's the satisfaction of having done it, whether you have a mask on or whether people were cheering. That's really, I think, what people really do it for. I tell people that the medals are great, but I end up hanging them on my doorknob, you know, because afterwards, it's just knowing that you've done it is what's really makes it worthwhile, Greg. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's a incredible accomplishment that people, you know, have when they complete that marathon, and people do it for so many different reasons. You know, some to raise, some to finish, some to raise money for charity. And, you know, there's a lot to be proud of when you finish, and however people have to do their marathon distance this year, and, you know, people are still going to be able to call themselves marathoners. And I think that's a key thing to stay focused on.
Once again, I want to remind our listeners that this is WBBM's At Issue program. I am reporter Terry Keschner with WBBM Radio. We're talking to Greg Hipp, the executive director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, and Matt Koshy, a radiation oncologist at the University of Illinois Hospital and a very experienced runner. Matt, how many Chicago marathons have you run now?
I've done 8, so this is going to be my 9th.
This is going to be your 9th if it happens this year.
If it happens, right.
And so Greg, we'll how about you? How many have you run?
You know, that's the dirty secret when you work in running. You don't get to run a lot of races. And I have worked many Chicago marathons and many races, but I've never gotten to run it. And I can't tell you I'll ever get to as long as I work at CARA, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the strange thing. And as you mentioned, but we all know, though, that as we said, that the spectators make the marathon and the volunteers and the organizers make the marathons as well. I mean, thousands and thousands of people are needed, and they really do give back. It cannot happen without them. So that's incredibly important. I also wanted to touch base with you guys on another thing, if I may, that you can't have a discussion about really anything in American life today, including running, without some mention of the protest and the social unrest that we've seen lately. running is a very welcoming sport. I think it's the most accessible sport there is. You just open your door and you run. Chicago runners are very kind and supportive of all those who get out there, even runners who aren't really running, if they're doing a run walk, if they're in a wheelchair, no matter what they're doing. My question is, can the running community play a role, do you think, in healing some of the problems that we are facing today? I know we have a lot of issues today. Greg, can you talk a little bit about that, about how running can maybe, you're running away from things, but running toward things as well. Can running help unite people?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we've always felt to Kara that running is more than sport, and it's something that, you know, helps your mental and physical well-being, but it's something that also brings people together. And one of our key parts of our beliefs at Kara is a statement called Power of the Group. And it's all about how we support each other and have the camaraderie and community that there is within running. It's an individual sport in many people's mind, but when you take part in a group like Kara or any other of our great running clubs in Chicago, you get a sense of that incredible community. But there's definitely work to do, even within the running community, I think, to make sure that running is truly accessible to everyone. And that's something that we've reflected on a lot here at Kara, especially after, you know, the running club around the world came together to bring awareness to the murder of Ahmaud Arbery back in early May. And who would have thought then that you know, the issue would keep becoming even more prevalent, and thank goodness it has. Unfortunately, the way it did is unfortunate, but I think we're all reflecting and recognizing how much more that everyone has to do. And I think the running community can often say that we haven't done anything deliberately wrong, but we need to think about what we can do deliberately right. And so we're really evaluating how we make sure sport is accessible, and it's more than just cost. It's more than just geography and where running events are. And I think, you know, the Ahmaud Arbery case showed us that Black men are racial profiled often when they're running, and that's something that the entire running community needs to come together and help combat, because that's a key part. If you can't feel safe, and if you're not safe when you go run, then running's not as accessible as we think it all is. And so that's an issue that I think we at Kara are recognizing, and hopefully the whole running community is, and so that we come out of those May 8th runs that we all did to bring awareness to Ahmaud Arbery's case, and look how we can take some action, which I think is something that we at Kara know we need to do better at, and hopefully the whole running community agrees.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. He was out for a run, and the thousands of runs I've gone on, I've worried about slipping on ice. I've worried about getting hit by a car. I'm sure we've all experienced that, you know, close calls. But I've never feared for my general safety of running, of someone targeting me because of what I look like. Matt, you and I have been on so many Saturday morning runs with Kara down along the lakefront. And one of the things I've noticed on those runs over the years is that we start downtown, you and I and the others, basically in the loop, and we're seeing all kinds of different faces. But then the further south we run, we're seeing mostly African-American faces. Then conversely, when we would turn back and run up north to the north side of the city, we're seeing fewer people of color. It's interesting because the lakefront is so beautiful and welcoming, Matt, but there definitely seems to be still a color divide in Chicago, even after all these years. And we see that even along the lakefront.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. On our log runs, you can definitely see the differences in our city. And it's just something that we have to be aware about, and something that, you know, hopefully we can talk about, you know, bringing the city together. You know, running events can do that, and I think the marathon does do that. It's a day that the whole city can appreciate.
Greg, one of the things that people who run with the Chicago Area Runners Association look forward to each summer in these summer runs are the shirts. We get the shirts and we wear them proudly. We tell people, hey, we kind of show them off a little bit. Hey, I'm training for a marathon. Everybody kind of likes to talk about that a little bit. What about this summer? Will there be masks in addition to the t-shirts?
So we will continue to kind of stand by our advisement that anytime you cannot maintain social distance, that one needs to have a mask or face cover. We're kind of spending a lot of time before group runs begin to evaluate, you know, not only what we need to do for safety, but also what our expectations are from our local authorities here as well. So, you know, we right now we kind of stand by our running safety guidelines we've been putting out, which is to wear a mask or face cover anytime one can't maintain social distance. And we're, you know, just really trying to evaluate how that's going to fit into our group runs. And so I think it may be a situation where runners need to have that that running buff or gaiter or that mask, you know, on at certain times and may not need it at others. But we've got a few weeks to really fine tune that. And it's going to depend a little bit about the locations, you know, that we run at. Because Kara has training sites all over the city and the suburbs and different size training groups. And so certain groups might have different challenges than others. And that might require a different approach to masks and face covers.
Matt, what about running on a treadmill? It's just not the same. That's the easiest way to practice social distancing is to run on a treadmill at home by yourself. Or I've done that where I've run in the backyard on days when I wasn't able to get out there for a real run. What do you think about running on a treadmill? Does that do it for you, or is that just not right?
Yeah, for me, it's painful running on a treadmill. I just get bored so easily doing it that I'm unable to tolerate it. I know a lot of people, that's their go-to when they can't run outside. But for me, I honestly, I can't stand it. I really like running outside, specifically with, you know, we talked about the power of the group, but it's so much more fun running with the members of your running group because you've been with the same people, you know, now for years and years. So that's definitely something that I appreciate about the running in the community. And so that's why I nowadays I can't stand going on a treadmill. I used to do running on a treadmill, but not anymore.
Greg Hipp, Executive Director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, Matt Koshy, Radiation Oncologist at the University of Illinois Hospital, and a guy who's going to do another Chicago Marathon either this year or next year, Matt, right?
Right, hopefully.
Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us. Be safe. I appreciate you promoting safe running, and we'll talk to you again soon. We are joined now by Courtney Phillips, co-founder of the running group Gumbo Fit Chicago. Courtney, again, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy Juneteenth.
Yeah, thank you. And we've been talking a lot about the challenges of running during coronavirus with runners forced to wear masks sometimes and having to social distance. Can you talk a little bit, Courtney, about what Gumbo Fit has been doing to stay safe and healthy during all this?
I would say that Gumbo Fit, we actually have taken a break altogether since mid-March. And so we've been giving our community resources and support from afar. We have a WhatsApp group and a newsletter. And we're just trying our best to, as leaders, do what we need to do to stay safe and also take action and be responsive, like personally in this time. And so we're just kind of getting back into engaging our community and doing programs, but with much, much caution, and we're taking it step by step.
Do you run with a mask? I've been running with a mask, and it felt really strange at first, but I realized I had to do it. When you run on your own outside, are you running with a mask?
No, I actually don't run with a mask because it's very difficult for me to breathe. And so I really prioritize keeping my distance by running in the street, actually. So I run towards facing traffic. And I also run during times of the day that are not very busy. So like this morning, I was out around 7 o'clock and the streets were pretty empty. I think it's about that as well. And just making sure that I give as much space to the people on the sidewalk as I possibly can. I'm very cautious of that. And we also make sure that we encourage our community to do the same.
And with the weather getting hotter too, you know, a mask, I know, yeah, because I wear a face covering and I have a beard and I wear a face covering during the winter. But with this hotter weather, the mask is even tougher for a lot of people.
Exactly. And, you know, we have to also consider people who, you know, might have respiratory differences that they, you know, in a way where they absolutely cannot put a mask on because it's detrimental to their health. And I've also heard, you know, in some cases, if your mask is extremely thick and you're not getting much oxygen, then you risk like possibly fainting. And I've heard of some people actually fainting as well.
Courtney, another thing I'd really like to touch on, if that's okay, one of the things that we've been thinking about and hearing about is you pretty much can't talk about anything nowadays, including running, without making mention of what's been happening in the United States the last few weeks. And one of the things that has been on my mind a lot, and one of the things that we've been talking about a lot, is the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. I admit that made a lot of runners, including me, think a lot more about the fact that for some people, maybe for African-American runners, that they might face dangers that he faced that day simply because of the way they look, they're out for a run. And again, that's something that I thought about before, but I've been thinking a lot more now these last few months, few weeks. Is that something that Gumbo has been talking about, or that you're talking about perhaps even more these recent weeks and months?
Yeah, I mean, if you look on our social media page, you'll see, you know, how we've discussed it publicly for the most part. I mean, our community is focused on the Black community, but it's not exclusive to the Black community. We meet on the south side of Chicago in Hyde Park, Chicago. And for the runners that join us and have joined us in the past, the concern of running while Black and being policed by people on the street is something that happens not just when you have your running shoes on. It happens all day, every day, everywhere you go. And so I think broadening our understanding of the fact that, like, running while being Black is definitely something is a concern, because the outdoors should be a place where people can roam freely for the most part, right? But we as a society have policed the Black community since the beginning of time. And so this is just another manifestation of that. And so for it to be seen finally on a national stage or in a national way is definitely important. But I would say that the caution is there and has been there for everything that we do.
Well, and go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, and that's, I think about, you know, different communities we belong to. I remember talking to a colleague not long ago saying that I felt very much a part of the Chicago running community. And I think when you form that bond with people, when I think of something happening to somebody being targeted or not being treated well, if they're a runner, then that hits home with me, because I think, well, they're part of my community. So it's, again, another reminder for me to realize that just because something happens maybe in a part of town that I'm not normally in, or somebody I might not normally identify with, that doesn't mean it doesn't affect me. Because for me, anytime I hear about something happening to a runner, getting hit by a car or something like that, or, you know, being slipping on ice, something that all us runners go through, especially in Chicago, it hits home more. So I think it's another way that we realize that we do have this connection with people maybe we don't spend that much time with normally.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important for us all as runners to explore the city and also join run groups that we might not have joined, that or might not be in our neighborhood immediately. I mean, like right now, you know, there's plenty of run groups that are on the north side of the city, and that's really great. And, you know, we all know Chicago as far as the north side goes and downtown goes, but it's like there are plenty of opportunities to get to know other areas of the city, and to get to know a lot of these runners just by simply showing up. And so obviously right now we're limited because we're not even meeting up because of safety, but it's like at some point I think it becomes a thing of like, join us. I mean, again, we're focused on the Black community and creating space and broadening space and sport for the Black community, specifically in running, but that doesn't mean we're not gonna let anyone else run with us. It's just, we're based on the South Side, and so our runners are primarily Black. But we enjoy what we do, and we're enthusiastic about running, and we know that it's not always safe for us, but we, no matter what, that's just how Black people every day, they wake up and they realize, we have to understand that, like, anything can happen. But at the end of the day, we have to prioritize our health. And that is part of our resistance, our Black joy. It's our expression of Black joy. It's our expression of another form of resistance to a lot of what holds us down within this country. And so that it's just a place for us to you know, be in a place where we can express ourselves. And so, yeah, I mean, you're invited to come down anytime. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are not so familiar with the Hyde Park area. And the Hyde Park area is very beautiful, and it's near the lake, and it's a good place to start if you're not familiar with the South Side.
Courtney Phillips, co-founder of the running group Gumbo Fit Chicago. Thank you again so much, Courtney. I really appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you hopefully someday out there on the lakefront path soon.
Yeah, well, come on down. You're more than welcome to join us. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you to Courtney Phillips, and once again, my thanks to Greg Hipp, Executive Director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, and Matt Koshy, a veteran runner and radiation oncologist at University of Illinois Hospital. Thank you all. We will be back next week with another edition of At Issue. Until then, be safe, everyone. I'm Terry Keschner, News Radio 105.9 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.